Shalom to all. Today's office of Makas Daf Yud Ches. We are starting about the fifth line with the word Gufa. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Merim Sarabas Biakav Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. This is where it tells us Gufa. We had just mentioned before on the previous Amud. Amar Rava. Rava says Zarsha Achol Min Ha'Oila Lifnei Zrika Chutz L'Chayma. If a non-kain ate from a carbon oila before Zrika's dam, before its blood was sprinkled on the Mizbech, and this was outside the wall of Yerushalayim, L'Reb Shimon Loike Chamesh, according to Reb Shimon, he gets five malchus. The question is Vilkinami. He should get another set of malchus. Mishom V'Zor Lo Yoichal Kodesh Heim, because this pasuk, there's Zar is not allowed to eat it because Kodesh, this is referring to all Basar Kache Kachim and Oil is Kache Kachim, so we should get another set of malchus for this. And the answer is no. Hanimili, Hechad Lokayanim Chazi. That's only if it's fit to be eaten by Kayhanim and a non Kayan eats it, so he gets malchus for this. But Hechad Lokayanim Namil Chazi, over here, it's not fit for Kayanim either because of carbon oil, they can't eat a carbon oil, so he's not going to get malchus for this. Another question for Loki Nam, Mishumu Basar Besada Trefa Lois Achelu, why not get malchus for this pasuk? Literally translated, it means and meat out in the field that became a trefa is not allowed to be eaten. In the simple understanding, it's referring to an animal that's out in the field and was torn apart by a wild animal and it wasn't shechted properly, so it can't be eaten. Now really we don't have to have the word sada here. It could just say ubasar trefa loisechelu, and therefore we understand this word sada to be saying as follows: kimishiyata basar chutzlam chitzasai. Once any meat goes out of its mechitza, it's brought out of the Beis Hamikdash or Yerushalayim, that's out of its mechitza, out of the confines it's allowed to be in, nesar it's usar, and that's what we're understanding from the word sada. Just like a field is out in the open, so too this is out in the open, it's beyond its boundaries, and so this is also a law that he should get malchus for when he eats a carbon oila outside the Beis Hamikdash. And the answer is once again similar to the previous one. That's only if when it's inside the Beis Hamikdash it's fit to be eaten. So then when he eats it outside, he's going to get malchus. But over here, even when it's inside the Beis Hamikdash, it's not able to be eaten because of carbon oila, so he's not going to get malchus for eating it outside. Another question: why not get malchus like what Rabbi Elazar said? The Amar Rabbi Elazar says the pasuk tells us lo yoichal ki kodesh heim. That's proper girsa. Don't eat it because it's kodesh. This is specifically referring to noisar, any carbon which is left past the time that you're not allowed to eat it. It's called noisar. So the pasuk tells us clearly, and what do we learn from here? Yurchas Mabez on top. Kol Shabakadish Pasol, any sort of kachim which is pasol that can't be eaten, the pasuk is giving a loisase that it's not allowed to be eaten, and so it should be applied to this fellow as well. Wait, this carbon oila. And once again, the answer is similar to the previous ones. That's only if before it became pasol, it was fit to be eaten. So now that it's pasol, you have a lav, you're not allowed to eat it. Whereas hach over here with this carbon oila, the kadim psulay namile chazi, that before the psol, it wasn't allowed to be eaten either because of the carbon oila, so he's not going to get malchus for eating it outside Yerushalayim. Another question: why not give him another set of malchus? Because another thing that Rabbi Elazar mentioned, the time you have a price for Rabbi Elazar tells us kol shu bekol tia liten loisase al chilasoi. Anything that has a chiv of kol tia and has to be totally burned like a carbon oila, so there's a loisase you're not allowed to eat it. And so this is another law the guy should get malchus for. The Gemara answers you're right, and a chinami he would get malchus for this other thing. V'rava mahaykra ka'amar. Rava was just saying based off of this one pasuk that we had quoted previously of loisucha lecha b'sharecha, and it mentions a whole bunch of things that you're not allowed to eat outside Yerushalayim or outside the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. Rav was simply saying, based off of that pasuk alone, we can learn that this guy is going to get five sets of malchus. But you're right, because of this other thing you just quoted from Lezer, he would get another set of malchus as well. And now we continue talking about something we were discussing previously as well. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav. The siman for what we're going to be discussing is Kuza. Kayin sha'achol mechatas v'asham l'fnei zrika, like a kayin who ate from the carbon chatas or asham, which are kachay kachim that have to be in the Beis Hamikdash, but he ate from them before zrika sadam, before the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach, he gets malchus for that. My time, why is this? Number Krakas, the pasuk says, "Va'achlu oisam asher kupar bohem." They who got kapara through them shall eat them, and this referring to the kohanim eating them. What do we learn from here? La'achah kapara in that they're only allowed to be eaten after kapara, meaning after the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach. But lefnei kapara loy, they're not allowed to be eaten before the kapara takes place, meaning before zrikas adam. And what do we say? That lav haba mechlal asay lavhu, that a lav that comes from an asay is considered a lav. Namely, this pasuk tells us that they are allowed to eat it. That's an asay. We're deriving a lav from it, that they're only allowed to eat in such a situation, but they're not allowed to eat it in a different situation. And so that lav, haba mechlal asay, it comes based off an inference from an asay, is actually on the status of a lav, and one's going to get malchus for it. However, Master Rava asks on this, we have a pasuk that tells us regarding kosher animals, of v'chol behem mafreses parsa, any animal which has split hooves, v'shoysas shesas shtei parasos, and is completely split into two separate hooves, malz geir behema, and chooses cut among animals, oisa techelu, that's allowed to be eaten. Now what do we learn from here? Oisa techelu, vein behema cheres techelu. Clearly this tells us you're only allowed to eat such an animal, and other animals that don't have split hooves and chew their cud, they're not allowed to be eaten. And if it's really like what you said, that a loisase, haba mechlal ase, is considered like a loisase, then ezel loisaych lumali, why does the pasuk then say the following things are not allowed to be eaten, telling us a clear loisase in the pasuk, don't eat the following non-kosher animals? We don't have to have the other pasuk, because we just were able to infer the loisase from the ase of the first pasuk. It must be that a loisase, haba mechlal ase, does not have the stringency of of a regular loy sase. So the Gemara says, right, Ella yitmar hachi itmar. If something was said regarding this, it's the following that was said. Amar v'gidol amarav, zar, sha'achal mechatzos v'asham l'fnei zrika, potter. If a non-kain ate from mechatzos or asham before zrika's adam, he's potter. My time, why is that? It's because the Amarka, the Pasuk says, as we quoted before, v'achal ois ma'shachupar bohem, that they, the ones who are receiving kapara through them, could eat them. And again, that's referring to the kaihanim. And what do we learn from here? Kol heicha the kareinim bei, v'achal ois ma'shachupar bohem. Anytime we read this first part of the Pasuk, we apply it, namely, that kaihanim are allowed to eat it because there was already zrika's adam. Then kareina bei, we also apply the second part of the Pasuk, which is, v'zar lo yechal ki kodesh heim, that's a proper girsa, that a zar is not allowed to eat it because it's kodesh, and that means that if a zar eats a chatas or asham after zrika's dam, he will get malkes. But v'chal lecha de loy kareina bei v'achol es mashachup abrahem, anytime we don't apply the first part of the Pasuk, because there wasn't a kapara yet, due to the fact that there was no zrika's adam, loy kareina bei v'zar lo yechal, then we do not apply the second part of the Pasuk either, and that means that if a zar eats a chatas or asham before zrika's adam, he's not going to get malkes. Now go back to the discussion we had at the beginning of the previous daf regarding bikurim. Amr Blazar, Amr Bishayo, bikurim hanach makavas bahen, kriya ain makavas bahen. Bikurim, the hanach is ma'akev, but not the kriya. As we had said, the bikurim, first fruits, has this two-stage process. The person brings their first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, they do a kriya, they say a number of different psukim, then the basket of bikurim is placed next to the mizbeach. Rabbi Blazar is telling us, b'shem Rabbi Shaya, the bikurim, it's only the hanach that's ma'akev. Namely, if the hanach next to the mizbeach was never done, so he wasn't yet to his kriya bikurim and they're not allowed to be eaten. However, if the kriya was not done for whatever reason, that's not ma'akev, and as long as the hanacha was done, it's okay. The question is, Rabbi Blazar Hachi, does Rabbi Blazar really say this? If a person separated the bikurim before sukkahs, and then it passed sukkahs, he didn't bring them, yukavu, he has to let them rot. This has to do with the Mishnah that teaches us that there's two different times to bring bikurim. Up until sukkahs, if a person brings their bikurim, they're maybe vikairei. They bring the bikurim and they say the psukim. But if they bring the bikurim after sukkahs, they're maybe ve'enoikairei. They bring the bikurim, but they don't say the psukim. And we just said over here from Blazar B'Shem Rabbi Shaya that if he separated his bikurim before sukkahs, but he didn't manage to bring them before sukkahs, he doesn't bring them at all. He just has to let them rot. Now, my love, wouldn't this be mishum deloy matzi mikra alayin, because he's not able to say the psukim anymore? As we just explained, if someone's bringing their bikurim after sukkahs, they don't say the psukim. Now, if you want to say, like we just suggested, that Rabbi Blazar holds that kriya the psukim of bikurim is not ma'akev, then amayir kavu. Why does he have to let these bikurim rot? Let him bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, and he just won't say the psukim. It must be that since we say they have to be left to rot, that kriya really is ma'akev, and since he had designated them during a time that he would have had to be kairi them, and now that time passed, now he can't be kairi the psukim, and he has to let them rot. Question on Rabbi Lazar, clearly kriya is ma'akev. So Gemara says, no, because Rabbi Zeira, really this is because Rabbi Zeira, Tom Rabbi Zeira says, kol roi lebila in bila ma'akev asbay, anything which is able to be mixed, mixing is not ma'akev it. B'chol she'enei roi lebila, anything that's not right to be mixed, bila ma'akev asbay, so then mixing it is ma'akev. What does this mean? And this is actually important, because this comes up all throughout Gemara, so this has to do with the carbon mincha. There's a Mishnah tells the person makes a neder, I'm going to give a 61 isarin mincha. That's an amount of flour. What does he do? He has to bring 60 in one kli and one isarin in another kli. And that's because the maximum that could be mixed in a kli is 60 and not 61. Now the question that's asked on this is, why does it make a difference if you're not able to mix 61 in a kli? We know that bila is not ma'akev, that even if you don't mix the mincha at all, the ingredients are not mixed together, it's not a problem, it's not ma'akev. So who cares if 61 is not able to be mixed in the kli properly? Even if it's less than 61 and it's not mixed at all, it's fine. So stick 61 in one kli and don't mix it. There shouldn't be a problem. And the answer is, says Reb Zeira, that if it's roi labila, if you're able to mix it properly, which means it's 60 or under, so then ain't bila makeves. Mixing it is not ma'akev. But if it's not roi labila, if you're not able to mix it properly because it's above 60, so then bila is ma'akev. Not mixing it will cause an issue, and that's why we have to split up the 61 isari mincha into 60 and 1. That's what we would say over here as well. And Shitas Reb Lazar, that if it's roi lekriya, kriya is not ma'akev. You're able to do the kriya, you're able to say it. If for whatever reason kriya didn't happen, no problem, you're still yotzer din bikurim. It's only if you're not able to do the kriya, because now it's after sukkahs and you miss your time to be able to bring this bikurim, then kriya is ma'akev and you have to let it rot. And that's how we answer the seeming stira. We continue discussing this. Rav Acha bar Yaakov masni lo kid Rav Asi Amar Rav Yechanan. Rav Acha bar Yaakov taught this in the way that Rav Asi said b'shem Rav Yechanan, and v'kash leid Rav Yechanan, he had a stira shitas Rav Yechanan on himself, because umiyam Rav Yechanan bikurim hanach makevs behen kriya in makevs behen. Does Rav Yechanan rehold by bikurim that hanach is ma'akev but the kriya is not ma'akev? Well, b'aminei Rav Asi Rav Yechanan, Rav Asi asked Rav Yechanan the following: bikurim me'emasai mutar l'kayhanim. When are bikurim allowed to be eaten by the kayhanim? Va'amar lein, Rav Yechanan responded to him: huriyin l'kriya mishakara alayin. Bikurim that are able to have the psukim read over them because they're being brought before sukkahs, so it's from when the psukim are said. And v'shein ruin l'kriya, if the psukim can't be said, for example, they're being brought after sukkahs, mishar opnei abayis, it's from when they see the face of the house, which means when they're brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And what do we see from here? here, kasha kriya kriya, kasha nocha nocha. We have a stira, kriya and kriya, hanocha nocha. The first member from Rabbi Yochanan tells us that kriya is not ma'akev. The second one tells us kriya is ma'akev because he said that it's only from when the kriya happens. That's when the kohen is allowed to eat the bikurim, and the stira of hanocha nocha as well. The first member from Rabbi Yochanan, he tells us hanocha is ma'akev, and the second one he tells us hanocha is not ma'akev. All it has to do is be brought to the Beis HaMikdash and doesn't need to be placed next to the Mizbeach. So the Gemara answers kriya, kriya, like kasha. There's no stira kriya on kriya. Ha, Reb Shimon, ha, Rabbanon. The second member of Yochanan was saying is actually Shitas Reb Shimon, and the first one is Shitas Rabbanon. And Hanocha Hanocha Nami Lekasha, there's no issue of Hanocha Hanocha either, Ha Reb Yehuda, Ha Rabbanon. The second member is Reb Yehuda, and the first member is the Rabbanon. Now we further clarify, my Reb Yehuda, what is this Shita of Reb Yehuda? Where do we see it? The Tanya Braisa tells us, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda says, the Pasuk in regards to Bikurim tells us, Vehinachtoi, which literally translated means, and you shall place it next to Mizbeach. However, what's the Drasha? Zu Tenufa. This referring to waving of the Bikurim. The basket of Bikurim is waved in all the different directions. Now, Ata Imer Zu Tenufa, you say it's referring to waving. Maybe it's actually understood literally, like the pasuk says, "V'hinachta, you shall place it," meaning you should place it next to the mizbeach. The answer is that no, k'shuaymer. When a different pasuk tells us "V'hinichai," and he shall place it next to the mizbeach, hare anocha amur. That's clearly telling us that the bikurim placed next to the mizbeach. So amani mekayim v'hinachtoi. Why do we have another pasuk "V'hinachtoi," seemingly telling us the same thing? It must be zu tenufa. That's referring to tenufa, waving it around. Now, what do we see from here? That there's two different psukim seemingly telling us the same thing. But Rabbi Yehuda says that no, one pasuk is telling us place it down. The other pasuk is telling us to wave it, and that means that we really only have one pasuk regarding the hanocha, and that means the hanocha is not ma'akev. It's only if we have two psukim telling us the same thing that we're able to say that it's ma'akev. But since one pasuk is telling us hanocha, and the other pasuk is telling us about the tenufa, that means the hanocha is not ma'akev. That's Shitas Reb Yehuda. And my tana de Palgalei Reb Yehuda, who's the tana that argues with Reb Yehuda, whom we're calling the chachamim, that holds that hanocha is ma'akev? Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, it's Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. The time you have a brisa, the pasuk says, "Lakach ha'kain etan miyadecha," and the kain shall take the basket from your hand, meaning the basket of bikurim. This pasuk is telling us that Bikurim needs to be waved around according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and that means Reb Elazar ben Yaakov would understand the two psukim, one v'hinachtoi, one v'hinichai, as both of them teaching us that the Bikurim have to be placed next to Mizbeach. And as we just said, when we have two psukim teaching the same thing, that tells us it's ma'akev, as we see it's Reb Elazar ben Yaakov who holds that hanocha of Bikurim by the Mizbeach is ma'akev. Now we just further clarify his shita. My time is Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. What's his reasoning? Where does he get this from? Asya yad yad mishlamim. He learns Gzer Shava yad yad from a carbon shlamim. Ksev hachet says over here in regards to bikurim, the kohen shall take the basket from your hand. Uksev, and by shlamim it says yadav tiviyanas ishi Hashem, with his hands he shall bring the fire offerings of Hashem. And the pasuk concludes by saying lahanif oisai tenufa lefnei Hashem, to wave it as a waving in front of Hashem. So we see the part of a carbon shlamim has to be waved in front of Hashem. So what do we learn? Makan kohen afalon kohen. Just like over here by bikurim, we're for sure talking about a kohen because the pasuk says very clearly v'lakach hakohen hatanam yadecha. So too over there by shlamim, it must be the kohen is involved in waving it around, even though it doesn't say kohen specifically. Amalalon bailim, afkan bailim. Just like over there, we're for sure talking about the bailim waving it around, because that's whom we're referring to in the pasuk by shlamim. Afkan bailim, we would say that same thing over here with bikurim, that the bailim have to wave it around. Haketzad, how's that done? How do we have the kohen and the bailim waving these things around? The answer is, meniach kohen yodav tachzidei bailim umeinif. The kohen places his hands underneath the bailim's hands, and together they wave this basket of bikurim, or the parts of the shlamim. And one more thing about bikurim before we conclude for the day, Amar Rav Bar Ado, Amar of Yitzchak, Bikurim Yotas Amar Alfa on top. When is a non-coin gonna be chayv misa b'day shemayim for eating them? We know that Bikurim is like truma, and just like if a non-coin eats truma, he's chayv misa b'day shemayim. So too, if he eats Bikurim, he's chayv misa b'day shemayim. So from when is he gonna be chayv of that? The answer is Mishur b'nei Abayis, from when they see the Beis Hamikdash, meaning from when they're brought into the Azara. Ask the Marakman who's this like? Katan like the following Tano. The Tanya of Abayis or Blazer, Amar Blazer says Bikurim Miktasim Chutz Miktasim Bifnim. If a person has a bunch of Bikurim, some of them are inside Beis Hamikdash, some of them outside. The ones that are outside are like 100% chulin, but the ones that are inside, they're like 100% hektish. So we see that Rabbi Elazar holds, once Bikurim goes into the Beis HaMikdash, that's when a non-kohen is going to get Misibdei Shemaim if he eats them. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss Bikurim. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.